Blog Talk Radio. good evening to all of my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I pray that you're doing well. And if you're going through some heartache, some trouble, some difficult situation, well, it's a good thing that you tuned in. For it is in this hour when we set our faces to seek God for those things that we need most, the things that we need right now, the things that we need for God to answer quickly. This is the sweet hour of prayer, the most important service of our church, Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. I'm your host. I am Radio Shepherd, and I'm so glad you tuned in to connect with God, the Almighty God, the God who so loved the world. That also includes you and me, you and I. He so loved the world that he gave his son that we might have eternal life. And if he gave his son that we might have eternal life, he will not allow us to be impoverished in other things. And so we come to him right now. We come to him understanding and knowing that if there's anyone, absolutely anyone, who's going to meet our need and do it completely, we don't need half the job done. We need a complete deliverance. Whatever it is we're going through, we don't need a halfway deliverance. We don't need a quarter of a deliverance. We don't even need a three-quarter deliverance. We need a complete miracle. And this is why we turn to the Lord in prayer. This is why we seek his face. This is why we go to no one else but the Lord. And we're committed to seeking his face. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So let's pray. Father, we come to you right now. We come to you in this hour, right now, Lord, knowing that many of us are just coming to praise your name, to magnify you, to tell others of the goodness of the Lord and of his mercy and of his loving kindness. Others are coming because they're vexed, because they're undergoing hardship, because they're in some tribulation. Their life has been turned upside down, and they need for the Lord to show up. Others have been so unemployed for such a long time that they're waiting for God, who has been testing their faith and their patience. They're waiting for God to come through for them with a new job, with the right kind of pay that would allow them with dignity to support their families. Others are just praying for healing. Some are praying for God to touch their bodies. They're doing like blind Bartimaeus. They're crying out to Jesus in hopes that Jesus will turn around and say, "What would you have me do for you?" Yes, Lord, we come to you today for many reasons. But whatever the reasons are, we're coming to you as a people for prayer. This is a sweet hour. It is a sweet hour because we get to spend it in the presence of God. Bless us, Lord, we pray. We pray in that name that is above every name. We come to you asking in Jesus' name, knowing that if we pray according to thy will, you will give us those things we have need of. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You know, when we get into trouble, we do everything but pray. When we come across some difficulty, the first thing we tend to do is we begin to rationalize and go through our mind, what can we do and who can help us? What can we do and who can come to our rescue? And many times what we plan to do when we find ourselves in trouble is not encouraged by Scripture, one. And two, instead of coming to the Lord, we go to people who represent the arm of flesh. And we're expecting that the arm of flesh would give us the victory. But that's just so foolish. In light of Scripture, in light of the testimonials that we've had, it would be foolish for us to try to go to someone else for help and succor. Oh, it's so foolish. And so I ask you the question that the hymn writer asked. Before sitting down and coming up with a strategy on how to deal with your present problem, instead of sitting down and going through your phone numbers to see who can you call to come and resolve your particular issues, let me ask you this question. Did you think to pray? Did you think to call upon the name of the Lord? You know, the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee. Did you think to pray? Did you think of calling upon God? Did you think about calling upon the God who tells you, give it to me, let go of it, and I'll handle it? Well, if you didn't think to pray, then let me encourage you that the next time you find yourself in a similar situation, just pray. Let's listen to this hymn that reminds us, that poses that question, did you think to pray?
Thank you.
And I guess that that's one of the things that we fail to do. When the storm approaches, we fail to pray. When we're in the midst of the storm, we fail to pray. Remember, it's only prayer that takes the night and turns it to day, as the hymn writer wrote. And why does prayer turn the night into day? Because we invite God. And God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And this is why our nights turn to day when we involve God in our distresses. Now, we here in America, many of us Christians, many of us who belong to the remnant church, those of us who love the Lord, and we're really not into foolishness. We're old school kind of Christians. We just love the Lord and we want to do things for God by the book. What book? The Holy Bible. Now, people may accuse us of being rigid and dogmatic, old-fashioned, outdated, intolerant. Whatever it is, whatever word they use to describe you and describe me, we're old school. We're no-nonsense kind of people. And we just want to cleave to the Lord. We just want to hold on to Jesus, and we're willing to let go of everything else. Everything else. And so right now we want to do old school praying. And what is old school praying? Old school praying is the kind of praying that true believers do when they realize that there's a great commission to be fulfilled. That the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That the multitude is scattered and fainting. Out of breath, out of life, out of animation. And so we're serious about winning souls. Why? Because the second coming of Christ is soon approaching. The Lord's about to return soon. And we want the Lord to save as many as possible. And this is why we're up and about trying to get much accomplished before the Lord returns. We're trying to get as many people inside the ark. Christ is that ark. So right now, let's pray for the lost. Let's go before the Lord. Let's go before the Lord. And I would encourage you that you would have index cards with pictures of your family members who are unsaved so that when we come to this section, you can have those index cards right before you and you can look at all the people you should be praying for right in your family who needs to be born again, who needs to have an encounter with Jesus. And not just an encounter, but a life-altering, life-changing encounter. That's what we're praying for. So that when they come into relationship with the Lord, they would only want to hear his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, another they will not follow." Let's pray right now for the lost. Let's pray for those who, if Christ was to come right now, they would be lost for all eternity. Damned to walk and abide within the corridors of hell. Let us pray. God, we come to you right now because we realize that time is running out, that the Lord Jesus is soon to return, and that the harvest is still plenteous, but the laborers are few. Not only are the laborers few, but our resources are limited. We need tracts, we need New Testaments, we need Gospels of John. We need for you to open doors of opportunity for us to share our faith with those that we come in contact with. Why? Because they're not your children. They are not your children. They have not come to your saving knowledge. If they were to die right this very moment, they would find themselves like the rich man in Hades asking for someone to dip their finger in water that he might have something to drink. So, Lord, we pray for the lost. We pray that you would set up means and ways by which they can hear the gospel and be saved. Lord, you have so many of your saints who are led by the Spirit, who are ready, willing, and able to go and share the faith as they traffic through life on a daily basis. We pray for these evangelists, for these men and women who don't have titles, but they have a burning desire in their hearts to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known, and to make him known, and to make him known. Father, we ask you right now, save them, draw them. Jesus said, unless the Father draw them, they cannot come. Lord, begin the drawing process. Bring them to the foot of the cross. When you bring them to the cross, open their eyes that they might see Jesus. Open their hearts that they might receive the Lord. Touch them, Lord. They can't come unless you draw them. Draw them, Lord. Draw them and those who love you, those who share your gospel with people, will help disciple these new converts and will get them going in the right direction. But you save, Lord. You save, will disciple. You redeem and will instruct. You cause them to be turned around and will show them the way. Co-laborers with you, O Lord. So, flex your arm. What arm? The arm of God that is ready and willing and mighty enough to save. And you open the doors for us to go and preach the gospel. It was you, O Lord, who said in the book of Revelation to the church of Philadelphia, behold, I have put before you an open door, which I have opened and no man can shut. Open for us some doors, Lord. Open for us some doors that we may walk through and have an opportunity to share Christ Jesus, our Lord. Bless our efforts, we pray, in evangelism, in soul winning. Bless our efforts, we pray, as we continue to pray for the lost and make the lost our priority. Because that was the Lord's priority, and that's your priority, and that is the priority of the Holy Spirit right now, the lost. The lost. The lost. Save the Lord, lost. Save the lost. Save the lost. The same way you had mercy on us and you saved us. Save them, Lord. Many of them are our family members. Many are our co-workers. Many are our neighbors. Save them, Lord. Have mercy and save them. Save them by your grace. Save them by your unmerited favor. Save them, Lord. We beseech you to save them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, let's go before Jesus again in prayer. Let's go before the Lord again in prayer. But this time, we want to pray for the needs that we may have. Chronic unemployment, We need financial blessings. We need a better place to live. We need a better vehicle. We need better jobs. We need a touch in our bodies. We need to be healed. Whatever the situation is, whatever, let's now, before we go into prayer and we tell Jesus what our needs are, because we're already saved. We just didn't cry out to God for him to save us. We're already saved. But we do need to cry out to him for some things that we need. So let's listen to this hymn that encourages us to tell it to Jesus. And then after we listen to the hymn, we're going to enter into prayer, and then you're going to tell what you need to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. I'm going to tell Jesus what I need, and you tell the Lord what you need. And if everyone does that, then we would have fulfilled the spirit of the hymn that tells us, encourages us, and exhorts us to tell it to Jesus. Let's listen. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. This is your moment in the prayer meeting to talk to the Lord. Sing and pray. Listen and do. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Are your bills mounting? Is the doctor's report not good? Are you weary and heavy-hearted? The hymn writer encourages you to tell it to Jesus. And the apostles, like Peter says, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. James says, is there anyone in trouble? Let him pray. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus, my friend. You have no other such friend or brother. As a friend and as a brother, Jesus is unrivaled. He has done so much for you and for me that his love is matchless. And this is why the hymn writer tells you, you have no other such friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Instead of telling 20 people what your problem, just go to Jesus. Specializes in doing the impossible. Tell it to Jesus alone. Let's pray. Let us pray. Let's pray for our needs. Let's pray for the things that give us insomnia. Let's pray for the things that break our hearts. Let's pray for those things that weigh heavily upon us. And gather all those things. Bring them to Jesus. Let's bring them, but we're not taking them back. All these things that weigh us down, we want to bring them to Jesus and then leave them with Jesus and let him handle it. Let him take up your case. It's your case. It's your file. You're leaving in the hands of Jesus your mess. Whatever those messes may be, whatever it is that again, is causing you insomnia, whatever it is that's robbing you of your peace, whatever it is that it's robbing you of your faith, whatever it is that it's robbing you of your joy, whatever it is that is robbing you of your communion with God, let's just put it in a folder and let's bring it to Jesus right now in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. For our Savior said that whatsoever we were to ask in his name, you would grant it to us. Right now, Lord, we come with our heavy burdens. We come to you with our impossible situations. We come to you with things so depressing that we can't sleep at night. We bring to you those things that trouble our soul and rob us of our peace, rob us of our joy, and even robs us of our smiles. We bring them to you, Lord, because we heard in your word that our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and they were saved. So right now, we step out in faith, and we trust in you, and again, we trust, we submit to you those things which torment our souls. We hand them over to you right now. We hand over to you our burdens so that you can hand us joy. We hand over to you our nightmares so that we can sleep. We hand over to you, O God, our constant insomnia so that you can give us rest. Lord, we're so vexed. We're so worn out by these things that trouble us. Alleviate the pressure, Lord. Remove the pressure. Take the pressure. And give us your blessings. Take from us those things that only you can handle. Those are the things we give to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we pray. We pray, O God. We seek out your mercy. We need your mercy. We need for you to exhibit your pity. We need for you to come down to our level and feel our pain. And now, Lord, we say, oh, Abba, Father, take care of us. Dispel the darkness. Get rid of the clouds. Get rid of the storm. A storm that has been hovering over us for months. We haven't seen the sun in months because we've been surrounded by dense darkness. But we ask you, Lord, to speak. Command the light to shine in the darkness. Save us, O God, according to your resume. And your resume is glorious. Save us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. I want to play this hymn for you that's going to encourage you in our next segment. In our next segment, I'm going to do a little teaching. And I have here a hymn entitled, Teach Me to Pray. Let's listen. Teach Me to Pray. Thank you. And yes, we need much teaching when it comes to praying. We need to be taught how to pray. And today's exposition is designed to do just that. So let's open up our Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7, 8, and 9. Proverbs 30, 7, 8, and 9. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version, and this is the proverb of the sayings of Agur, the son of Jakeh. He prays, "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor thy name." Let us pray. Dear Lord, teach us to pray by considering these three verses. Show us what a man inspired by the Holy Spirit prayed for. This man by the name of Agur, the son of Jakeh, this man whom the scholars for years have been debating, who is he? What was his pedigree? What made him a wise man? What was his legacy? So much debate over who he was, so much speculation, so much guessing. Lord, we don't want to spend any time today guessing on who this man might be and who he was, but rather we want to look at his prayer. We want to learn from it. We want to pray it. We want to experience what he prayed for and what he received from your hands. Bless us, Lord, we pray, as we look at this text and derive encouragement and inspiration from it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We can spend the rest of this session trying to argue and present arguments and present our position on who is this man. But that would really be of no benefit to us in this hour, because even with all of our speculating and all of our research and all of our study, when we would all present our different arguments as to who this man was, really, all of it is really speculation, and it will not be settled. His identity won't really be made known until we ask God in eternity. But what is of great value, what is of a great blessing to us, is his prayer. And he begins by saying, "Two things I require of thee, O Lord." In the King James, it says, "Two things I require." The NIV says, "Two things I ask of you." And the word required in the English is the Greek sa'al, S-A-A-L, S-A-A-L. And it really means to ask another person for something. That's the simple definition, to ask. To require is to ask. To ask. I've asked the listenership to tune in on Tuesdays for prayer. See, that's what I require, or that's my sa'al. It's one human being making a request upon another. Asking one person, asking another for something. In my case, I ask you to tune in because we ought to pray, and the Lord has a word for you. And I don't want you to miss your word, and I don't want you to miss your moment with God. I don't want you to miss your opportunity to come before the Lord in prayer and have your prayers answered. So I require that you tune in. But one thing is for a human to require of another human, or a human to ask another human for something. But here, Agur says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. So here, this is a man asking Yahweh, or asking God for something. And simply Yahweh, I've defined Yahweh, or the Lord, as the God of the long term, the God who's there for the long haul, the God who, Paul said, he that began the good work in you will what? Complete it. You know, many people who start out with us in the gospel, many of them are never with us in the end. There's only one person who starts with us and ends with us, and that's Yahweh, the God of the long haul, the God who started something in you and will perfect it. So Agur says, two things I have asked of the Lord. Two things. And my prayer is that before I die, he will grant me my two requests. Before I die, that he would grant me these two things. First, here's my first request, that he would keep me from falsehood and lies. That he would keep me from falsehood and what? Lies. That he would keep, and the King James puts it this way, that he would remove from me vanities and lies. Now, that's an interesting petition because the word remove is the word rahak, R-A-H-A-Q. That's how the Hebrew letters would be transliterated into English, rahak, R-A-H-A-Q. And it means to put distance between, to cause one thing to be far away from another, to put something a long way off. So he says, this is what he says, remove. What are you going to remove, Lord? Remove falsehood and lies, or in the King James puts it this way, he says, remove from me, keep vanity at a distance, keep falsehood far from me. It's interesting because the word vanity in the King James, which is translated falsehood in the NIV, it means keep fraud, deception, falsehood. Keep fraud, deception, and falsehood far from me. Also, keep lies far from me. Keep evil speech. Keep evil talk far from me. in essence, what the man is praying for, what Agur is praying for, is that he prays that God will prevent him from becoming deceitful. Think about that. When you turn on TBN, the Daystar Network, the Word Network, God TV, the Impact Network, and on you go. What do you see on TV? You see preachers. But what kind of preachers? Preachers who are full of falsehood and lies. How did they become that way? Well, they became that way because they didn't pray for God to keep vanity and lies. You see, Agur prayed, remove or keep falsehood and lies, vanity and lies. Keep those things at a distance. Now, obviously, the people that we see on Christian television who have become so corrupt, obviously, they became that way by means of contamination. Something approached them. Something came near them. Something mentored them in the fine and deceptive arts of lying and vanity. You see, we as believers, we as that remnant generation that loves the Lord, we need to pray. Keep those wolves in sheep's clothing far from me. Make sure, Lord, make sure that the wolves are at a distance from your sheep. We pray, Lord, that these wolves will be kept at bay, that you would not allow them to have proximity to the little lambs. Because there's an old saying, if you lie down with dogs, you're going to get up having fleas. So Agur prays, he says, Lord, keep me away from men and women who traffic in contaminating others and luring others into participating in lying and in fraud. And this is why we shouldn't watch Christian television. We shouldn't support these people. We shouldn't send them money. Because when we send them money, they keep deceiving and they keep lying. If we would only stop sending these fraudsters money, we would put them out of business. But the reason why they're in business is because the church is not praying. See, the church is not praying the way Agur prayed. He said, two things I'm asking you, O Lord. Do not refuse me. Ensure that you answer me these two requests. What is he praying for? He says, listen, don't let me get tainted. Don't let anyone turn me to the dark side. Don't let anyone do to me like the serpent did to Eve, like the serpent did to Adam. Don't allow anyone to come into my orbit of life who speaks lies and who's full of deception and fraud. Keep me from evil. Keep me from fraudsters. Keep me from deceivers. And keep me away from them, not because I fear that they're going to deceive me necessarily, but keep me from them because I don't want to turn into them. I do not want them to taint me and to turn me into one of their little disciples. He prays for protection. He prays that he would not be contaminated. Evil company does what? evil company corrupts. That's an old adage. Evil company corrupts. Paul put it this way in Corinthians. He said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So let us pray, Lord, keep me from leavening people. Keep me away from people who are in the business of contaminating others. Keep me away from those people. Then the second thing he prays for is, look at what it says in verse number 8. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Neither give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. What is he praying for here? When he says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me my daily bread, what is he praying for? This is what he's praying for. He's praying for that when it comes to valuing material things, when he looks at the value of material things, he says, don't allow me to become poor, because if I'm poor, then I will turn to a life of crime. And don't let me become too rich, because if I become too rich, then I will turn my back on you, like most people turn their backs on God when they are self-sufficient. So he says, either way, if I'm very poor and I turn to a life of crime, I will be sinning against you, O God. I'll be breaking your commandments. But if you make me very, very rich, then I'll commit the sin of turning my back on you. And both are sins. And both have to do with the thing we call earthly goods. And so he says, keep me on a leash, Lord. Give me each day my daily bread. Give me each day my daily supply. You see, having no money is an evil. And having too much money is an evil. So just set up your providence in that you do what Jesus said, as he taught his disciples. Give us each day our daily bread. Because Agur states, this is what he says, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? See, if he's rich, if he has too much, he'll turn his back on God and say, who's God? God ain't nobody. Or if I've become too poor, I will steal, and by so stealing, I will dishonor the name of God. So let's pray. Let's pray that we would not be contaminated, that we would not hang out with deceivers and then eventually become deceivers. Let's just pray that when the shysters come around, when the hoodwinkers come around, when the bamboozlers come around, when the tricksters come around, we will say, see you later. We cannot remain in your company, because he who lies down with dogs is bound to get up with fleas. So watch your company. Pray that God will keep those wolves in sheep's clothing afar off from where you are, lest you join up with them and take up their wicked ways. And pray that you won't be poor and that you won't be rich, but that on a daily basis you will wait for God to provide for you. Let's pray. Father, right now we come to you and we pray. Keep us away from evil men. for evil company corrupts. Paul the Apostle said to Timothy, you fellowship with those who lift up holy hands and who call upon the name of the Lord from a pure heart. And that's what we want, Lord. We only want to be in fellowship. We only want to be in league. We only want to be in covenant with those who love you and serve you. We do not, as sheep, want to be in league or in covenant with wolves in sheep's clothing. Thus, Lord, we pray, keep us away from the shysters. And then, Lord, we pray. We pray that don't let us wind up on Skid Row. Don't let us wind up in the street homeless. Lord, don't let us hit rock bottom and become penniless. We pray, prevent us from becoming penniless. But also, Lord, prevent us from becoming rich. Give us each day our daily bread. We, Lord, in essence, what we're praying is that you would manage our finances and just give us our daily allowance. Because if we don't get our daily allowance, many of us who are weak will turn to stealing, and that would bring dishonor to your name. And if many of us become rich, then human nature gone God. So keep us level-headed. And only you can keep us level-headed by giving us each day our daily bread. Manage us, O God. Manage us. You are the great shepherd. Shepherd your sheep, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, and amen. I pray that this Bible study was beneficial to you, and I hope and pray that you would ponder its teaching and its message, and I pray that you would let God minister to you through this short exposition. Let me remind you that tomorrow, we're going to continue here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. We're going to continue talking about what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He prayed without ceasing. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, in our Word of Exhortation, we're going to be talking about what did the apostles do? What did the apostles do? They did the same thing Jesus did. They prayed without ceasing. So don't forget to tune in tomorrow, Wednesday. We got this theme that we're looking at. This theme is prayer. This week we're talking about prayer. The Lord has put it on my heart to speak to you about prayer. So that's our theme for the week. And so I encourage you to come back tomorrow. In addition, I need your help. We are trying to reach as many hurting people as possible. Our numbers here on the broadcast, we can be doing far, far, far better with our numbers. Only because the Lord told us exactly what to do. Because the Lord knew that there are a great many people out there who are unchurched and underchurched. Now, you must know people. You must know people who left the church because of the abuses and the fleecing, and the politics. And so there are people that you know that are unchurched. They don't go to church anymore. And these programs are designed and are made available by the Lord for these kinds of people who stopped going to church. But in addition, these radio programs, these broadcasts, are designed to minister to the underchurched, to those who go to church, but at their church, everything is watered down. So I need your help. In prayer, the Lord impressed upon me to come before you and ask you to tell other people about what we're trying to do here. For this is the work of the Lord. This is God's work. And we can preach what the Lord tells us to preach, and we don't have to fear who's going to come down on us, who's going to tell us not what to say. We are bound to no one but the Lord. Listen, folks, we here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, we are accountable to no one but the Lord and His Bible. And so the Lord has told us to proclaim and spare not, to preach and don't worry about whose feelings you hurt, to declare, thus saith the Lord, and if they don't like it, too bad. This radio ministry, the Lord didn't raise it up so that pastors would be okay with it. This is for the sheep, herding sheep, scattered sheep, bewildered sheep, depressed sheep, sheep who have not felt the love of God for a long time. So can you please help me spread the word? Can you please help me reach 10 new people? If each and every one of you who are tuning in can help me reach 10 new people. In addition to that, you can tell them of the other radio broadcasts that we have. We have 4 radio ministries on Blog Talk Radio, which are all interconnected. All these ministries, the other 3, are ministries of Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. So help me spread the word. And do not forget that Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, the Wolf Tracker Program, Daily Manna from Heaven, and the International Institute of Biblical Studies and Ministerial Studies is all listener supported. So we do count on your love gifts. And we've already made available for you 2 ways in which you can give. You can give your love offerings via PayPal, or you can mail your love offerings in. But more important, tune in and get others to tune in. Because it is a shame that more people, now we have great numbers, but the Lord didn't tell us to do this for the numbers that we now have. There are more people. There are still other sheep that Jesus wants to draw. So help me find them. Help me spread the word. Well, that's it for today. Tune in tomorrow. And as you do, as you ponder the little assignment that I've given you to do and the 10 people that you can get and speak to and tell them about the broadcast, as you're thinking about that, let me play this last hymn. And the hymn is entitled, An Evening Prayer. Father, we pray right now as we close this prayer meeting. We ask you to bless this service, everything that was said. We ask you to bless the hymns and the exposition and use it to speak to us as we endeavor to reach out and speak to others. Now, Lord, we close this service with this hymn, An Evening Prayer. Bless us, Lord, and keep us safe until we come back tomorrow to hear another broadcast of Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. If I have walked
I fall when thou.